In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The story in today's gospel tells us a very important lesson about thanksgiving. Of course, the Lord had cured lepers before that have asked him, and he says simply, "What is it you want? And then be it done unto you," and everything seems fine. But in this case, it's a little bit different. He is between Samaria and Galilee. And so from afar off, these lepers are shouting at him. Now, they'd be afar off because they couldn't be in the town. Leprosy back then was a horrible illness physically. But in the minds of most people then, leprosy was also representative of a terrible situation in one's soul where so many sins had been committed that somehow God had let this terrible disease come upon them. And so if you were a leper, not only could you not come near the city, but no one could come near you. If somehow you came into contact with a leper, you had to be ritually cleansed from that before you were allowed back into the community. So it was a terrible social disgrace, apart from being a terrible physical disgrace. And leprosy was just something you did not want to have back then, not at all. But in this case, we have these 10 lepers that are apart from the city, and they're not coming near Jesus or his disciples or those who are with him because they know that they can't. And so you have to imagine this story in a little different scenario than perhaps the way the gospel immediately portrays it. Because it says when they were afar off, now that means a great distance away. They could have been hundreds of yards away from the Lord. And they're crying out to him, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The first instance we see the Jesus prayer in Scripture, actually. So they call this out from afar. And the Lord, without going to them from afar, does he say, "Be healed, be cured," anything like this? No. But immediately go, show yourselves to the priest. That's what he shouts back at them. And so they go. And perhaps at that moment they didn't know what was happening. They just knew that this man had some kind of healing power, and they did what he said. And so as they were going to the priest, they were all healed. And a few minutes later, one of them, the lone Samaritan who was there, comes running up to the Lord and thanking him for what had happened. And the Lord says, "Well, you know, weren't there 10 I saw up on the hill far away? Where are the other 9? Where are they?" And then he says simply, "Go, your faith has made you well." Okay, well, what about the other 9? They were healed also. There was no faith involved in that for them. Well, no. When he says your faith has made you well, he's not talking about physically. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about their souls at that very instance. Because the Samaritan who came back received cleansing of his body, but he also received salvation from the Lord. Your faith has made you well. Many of the fathers of the church actually indicate that those other 9, although they were healed physically, that they lost their salvation because they did not come and return thanks to the Lord. So this sort of interesting play that we've got going on here is something to ponder. First of all, why go show yourselves to the priest? Well, according to the Levitical rules at the time, that's what they had to do. It had to be the priest who looked at the leper to see if he was really cleansed in order to certify him as being cleansed and able to come back into the community. But the fathers of the church also point out something different about that. They say, well, they sent them to the priest because the priests were the ones who were always against the Lord himself. And if these 9 ended up back there showing themselves to the priest, well, then it was a testimony to them that the Lord was whom everyone around him knew that he was God. And so on one hand, you have the Samaritan, apart from the faith, coming back and receiving salvation and giving thanks, and those that were of the household of faith, again, not understanding, not giving thanks, simply receiving healing and then giving a testimony to the priest that were always fighting against the Lord. What a remarkable thing we have here. The fathers of the church also point out that this is an indication of the fact that the Gentiles are the ones that were going to be opening their hearts to God, that they were going to be the ones who would receive Him, even though they were not of the household of faith, and that those that were within, the Jews themselves, were going to be rejected because they got only on the surface what seemed like healing, but inside there was nothing there to help. It shows us also a lesson about giving thanks to God for all things, because so often we pray and we ask for things and we present all of our petitions to the Lord. And of course, we always want Him to answer in the way that we want Him to answer instead of the way that He often does answer us, which could be a completely different thing in a completely different manner. And yet we don't even notice it later on because that's not what we were expecting. How often does it happen when we ask God for something and then it seems like nothing happens and time goes by, and then really situations change or something happens in our life that actually was an answer from God, but by that time we were negligent of giving Him thanks for everything and we didn't even notice that He had answered our prayer even favorably to us, but that at the time we had asked for something would have been something that was not favorable. God, you see, sees everything. He sees it all at once, past, present, and future. Sometimes people will come and they'll say, well, you know, there was someone who was having surgery or something, and it was 2 days ago. I haven't found out anything about it, but I forgot to pray for them. And I'll say, well, pray for them now, because you will see your prayers are going to some place that is completely outside of time. Your prayers are going to the Lord. Your prayers 2 days later past that surgery, God, knowing that you're going to offer them, could still have helped in that surgery. So it's never too late to pray for anything, ever. Always bring your prayers to God, because again, He is outside of time. He is beyond us. He sees everything at once. He knows what we're going to do. He takes all of these things into consideration, but yet He still expects us to act. He still expects us to be thankful, like these nine lepers were not. One came back and received life. Nine left and received healing of their bodies. And after that, we don't know what happened. We have no idea. But the point is still made that thanksgiving in all things is absolutely necessary in our prayer lives. We have to offer thanks all the time, for everything. What did St. John Chrysostom say on his deathbed before he died? Glory to God for all things. This is after he had been exiled 3 times. This is after he was in a very, very bad position, being carried through the desert in a most miserable way. And yet, after having lost his great see of Constantinople, after having been taken out from all of the people that he loved and that loved him, and was put in this terribly ignominious position, he says, glory to God for all things. That's what we have to learn to do too. Because everything that comes from God, including our very lives especially, are gifts from Him. Everything that happens to us is a gift to us. And how is that? It's because we can't see how clear the road for our salvation is. We don't know what's ahead. We don't know always what we need to do, the things that we need to act upon, the things that we have failed at. We don't see all of these things, but God does. And so everything that comes to us, even if it makes us happy one moment or sad the next, is a gift from Him. Every breath we take is a gift from Him. How easy it is to forget these things. It's so easy, and I'm the worst among all of you in terms of this, of cruising through life, thinking of things day to day, of things that I need to do, or the things that have to be done, or things that didn't get done, or thinking down the road about this, that, or the other. I mean, it's terrible. We get so involved with the activity of life that we don't look to the one who gives us that activity to begin with. We don't look to the one who who is our life, the way, the truth, and the life. As he said, there is no life, there is nothing, there is no breathing, there is no walking, there is nothing apart from Jesus Christ. He is the one in whom we move, in whom we breathe, as St. Paul tells us. So thanksgiving is always important. One of the reasons we assemble here today is to be part of the great Thanksgiving, the Eucharist. Eucharist is a word that means thanksgiving. So that's why we come to God and we offer to Him all the things of our lives, our prayers, our petitions, the things that concern us, the things that scare us, the things that we have done, the things that we have failed to do. We offer all of that today in that great Thine own of Thine own we offer unto Thee, including the simple things like bread and wine, the things that we create, we give to Him. And He gives us so much back in return. He gives us life eternal. Life eternal. Do we ever really think about that? Or do we think somehow, well, this is all a pious fiction, it's just a fantasy, you know. Who knows what's going to happen? You listen to so many people today who, you know, they say, well, you're gone, that's it. In fact, human beings aren't so great anyway. You know, we should reduce the number of human beings in the world, or we shouldn't have any more children, and on, and such madness, it just almost becomes intolerable. Well, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ says that He gives you life, that He expects us to create life, that we are the most important things in His creation. Far from being on a par with animals and insects, we are at the pinnacle. And because of that, we have great responsibility before Him. Yet we are the ones who act in His stead here on earth today. And that includes giving thanksgiving for all things and letting the whole world know that it needs to give thanksgiving too. It is a world which is straying far from God. It is going far and far away. It seems like each and every day you see and hear so many things that almost prove that the world is turning its back on God. But we cannot, my brothers and sisters. This is our goal. This is our duty. This is our desire. This is the absolute necessity. If we want to proclaim ourselves as Orthodox Christians, we have to do this. We have to say, no, enough madness. Enough madness. Turn to the one God. Turn to Jesus Christ, His Son, who alone gives us our life and our being and keeps us afloat in this world and can ultimately give the world all the things that it so needs and wants and desires but is looking in the wrong place for. That's why we are here, in our thanksgiving, to become the salt of the earth, to become the light that is set upon the hill, so that all people, simply by your words and your actions and your demeanor, may know that you are Christians, that you are followers of Christ. This is what we must do. This is what we have to do. And this is what the Lord enables us to do if we simply turn and listen to Him. So while He may receive you, while He may grant you your prayers, turn to Him in thanksgiving for every breath you take, for this wonderful world that He has given us, for the souls which animate your bodies, for the relationships in your lives, for understanding, beauty, and trust, and love, and all those great things in the world that He gives us that so animate us. Be thankful for these things. And if we are, He will in no way, no way ever leave us behind when our time finally comes. Amen.